So grab your Bibles. Psalm 67 is where we're going to be, and we're going to dive right into it. This is our second to last message in the summer in the Psalms series. It's been going on all summer, and we're going to start in verse 1. Psalm 67, follow along as I read. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. And if your scripture has this little note, it says Selah, which means pause and think about that. Like, wow. We're going to camp out on verse 1 here for a while in just a second, but it continues on. Verse 2 says, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Does that sound familiar? We just read that in our worship time. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Think about that. Selah. May all the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and our God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is an incredible psalm, guys. It's 7 verses, but it has this idea of God blessing his people so that the nations might hear, that they might know, that they might believe, that they might be glad that our God is God. This idea of mission from his people to the world was in here already in Psalm 67. This is over 3,000 years ago. And we're going to unpack that a little bit today. And I just love that this states so clearly God's heart for the world, because he's not interested in a small family. He wants a big family, and he wants it from all the nations, not just from one country, but from all the countries. Not just one type of people, but all types of people. Not just the ones with the right pedigree or the right background, but people from all kinds of backgrounds that he would save and redeem and bring to himself. That is our God. In fact, it was never more clear than the verse that we see pop up in lots and lots of places, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it just resonates through of God's heart for the world. But I want to camp out in verse 1 as we get started. We're going to spend actually a good chunk of time here, because we need to grasp this idea of verse 1, that God is a God who blesses his people. I love verse 1. If you're looking at it, go ahead and read through it again. What an incredible verse. What an incredible prayer. That God would be gracious to us and bless us, make his face to shine upon us. Some translations even say, may God be merciful to us and bless us. Now, this sounds very familiar for a priestly blessing that was given to Aaron, Moses' brother, to speak over the people of Israel in Numbers chapter 6. I'm going to go ahead and put that here on the screen. You may have heard this blessing before. This is kind of the full form of what we're seeing here as a shortened version in Psalm 67. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I have read that version from Numbers 6 over many groups of people as a pastor. It's one of the things that we can do, even to one another. Parents, you can speak that over your children, or you can speak that over your friends in a time where they're struggling or where they're down, or when you're counseling with somebody. You can just speak this as a moment of ministry, because God has given these words to us to speak over one another. In fact, originally, it was, like I said, it was given to Aaron, Moses' brother. He was the first of the priests of Israel. And God actually said to Aaron, I want you to speak this over the people. You stand between me and them, and I want them to know this is my heart. In fact, later on down, the next verse or two, it says, this is how I will put my name on them and bless them. These are powerful words. that are spoken to us. And here it reappears in Psalm 67 and in a shortened form of that. And I just love that God's heart is to have a posture of blessing toward his people. Now, sometimes that involves discipline, and the heart of a father is still to discipline and to love his children. But overall, the idea that God wants to give us good things from his heart. Now, if we go forward then into this verse, as it reflects out of Numbers chapter 6, we get really just two lines in Psalm 67, verse 1. It comes in two parts. It says, "May the Lord be gracious to us and bless us." This is the first line of this blessing. We need God to be gracious to us and to bless us. That's really where the premise of this starts. Let me take a little survey. Is anyone in the room here perfect? Has anyone in the room here earned God's favor that he should have to bestow on you all of his blessings of his heart? I'm glad no one raised their hand. You're probably like, okay, no one else did, so I'll keep my hand down. It's probably what he's going for here. Listen, the scripture makes it really clear. This is not really an encouraging place to start, but it's the reality. Scripture says, there is no one righteous, not even one. In fact, all of our righteousness is like filthy rags before him. What does that mean? That means all of our best efforts. It means all of our own works that we would try to clean ourselves up or put our best foot forward. None of it impresses God in a way that he's like, oh yeah, you're righteous. Because he sees right behind all that the whole chasm of our sin. Scripture says that we were enemies of God before Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's the condition of every person. Was it true of the Israelites in the time frame when this was written? Yeah. Is it true in our lifetime of every person here in this room? Yeah, I'm not trying to insult anybody. This is what the scripture says. And if we aren't righteous, if we are undeserving of his blessing and his love, then this prayer is a prayer that every person needs. May the Lord be gracious to us. To treat us not like our sins deserve, but to treat us with his love and his favor. Because I need his grace. In fact, all I deserve is to be held accountable for the way I've turned my back on my Creator. But God's heart, his posture revealed in his word toward us is that he is gracious to us and he blesses us. As I said, that's never more clear than when we talk about the heart of Jesus. Who's Jesus? Well, Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Trinity, and he stepped out of heaven and took on human flesh. He veiled his glory and took on our weaknesses. He walked in our shoes. Well, our sandals. His feet got dirty. He got hungry. He put up with hot weather. You think it's hot out here. He lived in Israel. Hot, hot, hot. He dealt with people. Do you deal with people? You look a little bit too much sometimes dealing with people. Jesus dealt with people. He dealt with the problems of life. He took on the limitations of what it means to be human. And yet he did it perfectly. His heart perfectly yielded to the Father, fulfilling all of the will of God on our behalf. He's the only one who did it rightly, resisting Satan, resisting temptation, fulfilled the will of God, and then took upon himself the sins of the world as he went to the cross. The perfect one, the righteous one, dying in the place of all us unrighteous ones and taking all of our sin and taking the wrath of God that should have been all the punishment and judgment on us, he took upon himself. And why? So that we could be the righteousness of God, that we could be presented holy, that we could now receive the favor and blessing of God. And it's like in heaven, he's got this gigantic pitcher that's bottomless. You guys like when you go to a restaurant and they just keep giving you refills. There's a bottomless pitcher of pouring out his blessing upon us because that's the heart of God. Who are we to continue to receive from him? Not just in our salvation, which is incredible enough that he would make us holy and righteous and part of his family and cleanse us and give us an inheritance forever, but even now, All the spiritual blessings that are available in Christ, Ephesians 1, are ours because of him. So may the Lord be gracious to us and bless us. What a prayer. Then it goes on in the second part. It says, may he make his face shine upon us. Now, what if you were having a conversation with somebody and you're like, hey, Linda, what's happening? How are you today? You're great. So keep talking. So where do you work? What? If you're having a conversation with somebody, you turn around, what do you feel? How did you feel there, Linda?
I felt neglected.
Neglected. And you had said earlier, like, you don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah, so someone turns around while you're talking, it's they must be angry with you. They must be uninterested. They must be distracted. They might even be angry at you. So to turn your face away is a very rude thing to do, or a thing that's done when someone is upset. James Boyce, a theologian, says this: a shining face is the opposite of an angry face, and a face turned towards someone is the opposite of a face turned away in indifference or disgust. A shining face implies favor, and it implies the friendliness of warm personal relationships too. Listen, God wanted it to be spoken over his people that his face is shining toward them. Shining with love, with attention, with attentiveness, and he is turned toward us. God, his heart toward us is not to be angry with us, not to just push us away, but to be attentive toward us. What an amazing thought that God would reveal himself this way. My face is shining toward you. It also makes me think of how we're going to see Jesus face to face one day. We want a face-to-face relationship now like Moses had, where we can know him, and one day we're going to really be face-to-face. We're going to get that kind of relationship with Jesus, with his people. It's his heart. He wants to dwell with his people and his people to dwell with him. That's amazing. As we look into the New Testament, it gets more specific. That picture of blessing just expands for all those who are in Christ, those who have been brought into his family by faith. If we've trusted in Jesus, we are brought into this family of blessing. It's not a health and wealth kind of thing where all of your world's problems will go away if you just trust enough, because that's not exactly what's promised. One day, they're going to go away. But it's this kind of relationship. I'm just going to name some things that the New Testament says, that we would know and grasp the full height and width and depth of his love. He wants us to be free from the pain and entanglements of sin, Hebrews 12. He wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit shown all over our life, that his life would be ours, Galatians 5. He wants us to have joy and peace in Christ. That's Romans chapter 5. He wants us to have abundant life in Christ. That's John chapter 10. He wants us to know his healing. That's James chapter 5. In fact, he wants us to be so satisfied in him that no longer is our heart longing for everything else in the world. God wants us to take in all that he is. And as we come to be fully satisfied in Christ, he receives more glory. And as he's more glorified, we just love him all the more. That's the idea. You can have as much of God as you want. His blessing is poured out upon us as believers in Christ. So is it okay? Is that okay? Is that selfish? God's answer would be no, it's not selfish. Yes, it's okay. This psalm is his direct way of telling us he wants to bless us. He is available. His face is turned toward you today. Take him for all that he is. Now glance just up a little bit at the notes at the top of this psalm. And it tells us that this is a psalm that's written to be a song. It's written for the director of music with stringed instruments. And what was the intent of this psalm is to be sung over people. And imagine as the Israelites were gathered and they would actually put this to music and they would sing, may God be gracious to us and bless us and may he make his face shine upon us. And imagine in a gathering like today, if we were to sing that over one another. There was continual praise like that, and God wanted this to be sung over his people. We're not going to sing it today, but we are going to put this into practice today for his blessings to be prayed over us. We're going to just pause this right now and just make us a time to come before the Lord. It is right and appropriate to pray his blessings that are revealed in Scripture over us. I've invited Brett and Aubrey Warner, yes, the married couple, to come. And they're going to just pray. I asked them, would you just listen to the Holy Spirit? And would you look at places in Scripture and see where there are blessings that are stated in there for us? And would you pray these over our people? And as they do, what is our role? That's to have a posture of receiving, a posture of faith. Like when you hear it and you go, yeah, God, that's something I want because you've promised us something you would give. So give that to me. That our heart is one to receive his blessings and to pray for them as well. And so I just encourage you to don't worry about looking around other people. This is just a time between you and God. Maybe you've been dry. Maybe you've been like, I feel kind of far from God. Maybe you're today just carrying a lot of things, or maybe your heart's just excited and you just want more of the Lord today. Whatever your posture might be, let's lean into this and let God minister to us through his people, that his grace and his blessing might be ours as his face is turned toward us. Let me just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. Your word says it. Therefore, we want what you say. Show us your heart. Give to us things today from the storehouse of heaven that we need, our souls long for, that we might be fully satisfied in Christ, who gives us all good things. Holy Spirit, minister to each one. It's in your name, Jesus, that we have access to this. So minister and move in the way that only you can.
Yes, Father, we thank you that you love your church. We thank you that you desire to pour out blessings over us, over your children. And so, God, I ask that you would bless Emmanuel, bless us with the revelation of your love, the depth, the width, the height of it, that we would be transformed by the love that you have for us. And Father, I pray just for a blessing of freedom as we worship you, that we would have unhindered hearts of worship in spirit and in truth to you.
I want to read a verse from Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. God, would you let the word of Christ dwell in us? As your face shines on us, we feel it and we see it and we read it through your word. Your word is pouring out how much you care for us. It's pouring out your light. Father, thank you that we don't have to be afraid of your word. It's not condemnation for us, but freedom. I pray that the families in this church would study the scriptures together, that every person would have someone to study the word of God with, and that the word would dwell richly in the house of God.
Yes, Jesus, we ask that you would bless us with freedom from strongholds and oppression, that you would bless us by helping us to throw off all the sin that so easily entangles us. And Father, I ask that we would fall in love with your word, that it would be rich in our hearts, and that as we read your word and sit in the presence of your Holy Spirit, that it would uproot things that need to be uprooted in our hearts.
And with that, Lord, would you help there to be confession on confession on confession to each other and to you, Lord, that anything in the dark would be met with the light of the glory of God and the encouragement of believers, Lord. Would you help us to encourage each other with words of peace for confession?
And Father, bless us with a heart of service, that as we are blessed, as we are filled with the abundance of your life, that Emmanuel would be a serving church and that we would find you as we serve alongside of you. And God, would you form deep community here between us, Lord, that no one would be left lonely or in the dark, but that we would live in the light with each other. And Father, that you would restore and build and grow relationships in this body.
And Father, I was just so pressed during worship that these are the people that we will be praising you forever with in heaven. That these are the people we're going to stand with in heaven. We're going to walk into heaven and recognize our brother who sat next to us in worship, or our sister who we heard singing louder than the rest. And Father, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it tells us to comfort one another by saying that we are going to heaven, that Jesus will return for us. So help us to be a family that encourages each other, that keeps our lights burning for you as we wait for heaven. Oh, Jesus, we wait for heaven. We are so eager to be with you. And this is our family that you've given us to wait for you. Help us to do that faithfully. Thank you, God, for the blessing of this family.
God, we pray over the children of this body. Lord, would you bless them with a desire to know you, a hunger for you in relationship with you? Would you bless them with growing knowledge of your word and growing transformation? Lord, we also ask for blessings on our small groups of people meeting in each other's homes, the ones that are already meeting and the ones that will be meeting this fall. Lord, would you bless that with rich discussion that leads to just deep worship of you in that time and in the rest of our lives?
And Father, would you replace a critical spirit in our hearts with thankfulness, Lord, that we would not be critical of each other or of your word or of your house, Lord, but that we would be full of thankfulness for the blessings that you have given us, for our friends and family. You love all people that come to worship you. We're just so thankful that there is no denial before your throne, Jesus.
Yeah, Father, and anyone in this room who is downcast, who is in pain, Lord, you see that, you know that. Would you bless them by your presence being manifested to them? You are near to the brokenhearted. You say it in your word, and you bind us up. So God, those who are broken, those who are downcast, those who are lonely, would you bind up the broken hearts and fill us and surround us with your manifest presence, that we would know and feel and see that you are with us in all things at all times.
And Father, for the leaders here at Emmanuel, for ministry leaders, for people who lead small groups, prayer gatherings, for the pastors and staff, Lord, would you let them feel the light of your face shining on them? Would you guide them as you say you promised to guide the nations in this psalm that we're reading? Father, you've given them as our shepherds for this time. Would you help us to be a faithful people to follow those you've placed in authority here? And would you just help the word of Christ to dwell in them richly, for songs and hymns to come to their minds to encourage each other with? Would you help us just to be led ultimately by you, Father?
Yeah, Father, we ask for just a blessing of fresh intimacy with you, fresh hunger for you, fresh desire for you where we don't feel it. Would you stir it up in us? Lord, I ask that we would be unified in our pursuit of you. And God, we ask in your name, in the name of Jesus, that you would be gracious to us, that you would cause your face to shine upon us. This morning, this fall, this year, forever, Lord, we thank you that you desire to bless us, that you desire to shine your face on us. And Lord, this morning, all of these blessings and the many blessings that are found in your word, we position ourselves to receive from you what you desire and long to pour into us. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I want to say it again. To seek God's blessing is not selfish. It's good. It's what we need. However, to seek God's blessing without reading the rest of this psalm is selfish. Think we want to keep it to ourselves and never share this. That we would be the people of God who experience the blessings of God, and then we don't care that anyone else would ever experience it. That is selfish. And so this psalm actually connects from verse 1 to verse 2 in a powerful way. I'm going to read them together and just catch the force of what this psalm is saying. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And I would say you can't do the second verse if the first verse isn't happening. If you don't have Christ in you and you're not experiencing the fullness of his love and his power and his presence in your life, if you're not soaking in who God is and what you have in Christ and in his word, we won't have what's needed to do the second one. So we need to stay in his blessing and seeking after him and have his face shine upon us. But God's heart isn't just so that you only could have it, but it's so everyone could have it. That all the nations might know, that his ways might be known on earth. This is his heart. So I want to continue reading just the next couple of verses through verse 5, just so we get this. So I'll start again at the beginning. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all peoples. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. We want God to bless us more and more so that people around us might get to know him more and more. There's a connection that we cannot separate away. We were never meant to live like people who would represent the Dead Sea in Israel. This is a picture of the Dead Sea. I've never been there myself, but I've heard a lot about it. You read about it in Scripture. It's another thing to just picture what it looks like. This is at 1,400 feet below sea level. You can imagine you've got the Mediterranean Sea, then there's some hills and mountains, and then it descends all the way down to this point. The only river that flows into this is the Jordan River. That's where Jesus was baptized. It's where the Israelites crossed the Jordan to get into Jericho and all that kind of stuff. The water that went around him when he was baptized flowed into that sea. Wow, right? 1,400 feet below sea level, nothing flows out of that sea. One river goes in, nothing goes out. It's full of minerals and especially salt. It's so much so that on the sides you can just see just collections of salt in all the marshes and areas around it. It's so salty you can lay on top of the water and not sink. They have pictures of people reading newspapers laying on the water. That is not a good picture of a believer in Christ. The blessings of God come in, but then it stays with me, and that's where I'm going to keep it to myself. The blessings of God were meant to flow into our lives, but also to flow out to others. And it makes us recall the story of Abraham. When God came to Abraham, Abraham didn't expect this. He wasn't seeking this. God came to him and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you into a great nation. Because why? Because you're all that, Abraham, and I just want you to have all this. No. He says, you will bless the whole earth. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You were blessed to be a blessing. The same is true in our lives as well. And God's heart has always been on the nations, always been looking ahead. I mean, just see it here in Psalm 67. You can hear it in the promise to Abraham. You can see it in Isaiah 49:6. It says, I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is in the Old Testament. God was already aiming that way for thousands of years. And then we come into the New Testament, and we see that his heart is still for the nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. And so he wants us, that the people who live in the houses right along here, those who live in the rest of Mechanicsburg and to whatever borough or city you live in, that all people would get to have the same experience of knowing Jesus as you did. every man, woman, and child to hear the good news of Jesus and be able to respond to him. That's his heart for the world. Do we have that view? Do we have that mindset, realizing that that is what he wants for us? And he begins to make it very clear in the New Testament of how that's going to happen. He tells his disciples, you guys, go and make disciples. In Acts 1:8, he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus says this to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So how is this going to happen? It's going to happen through people like us, everyday, ordinary people whom the Holy Spirit fills and indwells. His plan is to use us, that more and more people might come to know him, that the nations might come to know him. So as we flourish, as we grow in his blessings and in the depth of his love and in the joy and the peace that comes through the Spirit, as we're transformed by his word, people go, there's something different about you. And the power of the Holy Spirit wells up within us that we might take the steps of obedience that he wants us to take and so that the world might see. And it's through people like us that our friends and neighbors will see the kindness of Christ. It's through people like us who will step into areas of our community and serve. Just yesterday, we spent the whole day serving because we have a kid in soccer. We were in the concession stand and we were doing all this kind of stuff. But we weren't just there serving at a concession stand. We were mindful that we were sent there by the Lord to serve, to get to know people, to bless people along the way. Everywhere we go, we are sent into the little nooks and crannies of our community. We are the ones who point people to the Lord. As we are blessed, we are meant to be a blessing to others and point them to Jesus. That's his plan. That's his design. So let me ask you, number one, are you seeking that the Lord may be gracious to you and bless you? And number two, then, are you saying, Lord, use me. Send me wherever you want me to go. Today, we have purposely planned for this ministry fair to kind of be an outworking of this very message, that this is not just a message from Psalm 67. This is a message of the whole Bible. This is the purpose of the church. Lord, we want to grow in you, and we want to be connected with one another, that we might love one another well, that we might share Jesus with all the world. So this ministry fair is representing that very thing. It's got all those purposes built into it. And we are going to dismiss here in just a few moments. We want you to take purposeful time there to see what all is going on. I'll just give you a couple of highlights. This fall, there's going to be a new small group emphasis that we're going to have. There's many groups that are existing groups, and there's about six of them that are brand new groups. There's space for you, in other words. That you could step into a small group, and it's going to study something called gospel fluency, which is a way of saying, you know, if you learn to be fluent in another language, you're speaking something that's foreign to you. Well, we want to become more fluent in speaking the gospel even to ourselves, speaking the truths of Jesus into everyday stuff of life. That's the tagline. That we would believe and trust in the gospel more and more for ourselves, not just to know that we're saved, but how to even live free of things, know who we are in Christ. And as we become more fluent with that, we're going to be easily more fluent to share with others. That's a study that's going on this fall. There's another study that's going to recap what we did last year, which was the series on bless, that we would know and have practical steps of how to bless our neighbors and friends. If you missed that study last year, it's going to be at the 9 a.m. Hour. Pastor James is going to be leading that this fall. There's lots of other groups and studies, life stage things like men's groups and women's groups and those ministries, marriage ministry, college age. There's a group for you. There's all kinds of things going on. So take time to walk through to see what is going on so that you can grow in Christ and that you can give things away. There's ministries you could literally sign up for today that you could step into serving, to teaching, to leading, whatever it may be, so that you again can be used to serve those who don't yet know Christ or build up our body here at Emmanuel. So what I'd like to have you do is I'd like to have us all stand. I want to read the scripture over us again. And after I do that, I'm going to dismiss those who are working at the booths, and then I'll pray over us. But I want to read this scripture. It's Psalm 67, the last verse. Hear the heart of God again. It says God will bless us. God will bless us. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. Oh, that that would be fulfilled here at Emmanuel Church. And dismiss those who are serving at the ministry fairs. If you're at one of the booths, you can head out. I'd like to pray over us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have done so much, given yourself completely to us that we don't deserve. Thank you for all that we have in Christ. Thank you for the hope we have that even while life can be hard and difficult, that as we persevere in faith with you, we know you're going to walk with us each step of the way, that there's ultimate victory in Christ. Thank you that you've shown us how to have peace. You've reconciled us to the Father and that we can have reconciliation with one another because we don't have to hold on to things. We can forgive, and while things may not always be healed, we can have peace in our hearts. And you speak words of peace because you're in control, and all that you've given us, we just thank you, God. Rain your blessings down upon us. And Lord, I pray that today would be a day of steps forward to connect into areas of growth, into community with others, in ways we can serve. So help all of us today to take whatever step you're asking us to take. Even if we just survey it, even if we just see some ideas that we will follow up with in the next couple of weeks, show us our way forward so that this fall we might fulfill what this psalm tells us, that you want all peoples to know you and to praise you. And so God, bless us now. Be gracious to us now. Make your face shine upon us, even as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. I declare the service is not over. It's just changing rooms. If you have kids down in the kids' ministry, you do not have to pick them up right now. You got to get them around noon or 12:05, but make your way across and mingle together and enjoy the rest of this day. God bless you.